I believe God is drawing us near to Him, to see His beauty, to see His face, to reveal His holiness, and to switch our desires to worship Him. I was singing this song in from the morning. I was singing a song that says this, and I believe that God wants to reveal it and release the power for it. When I look into your holiness, when I gaze into your loveliness, your loveliness, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you. This is in the name of Jesus. When all things that surround me become shadows in the light of Jesus. This is what my prayer today, that all things surrounding will become shadows in the light of Jesus. When I found the joy of reaching your heart, when my will becomes enthroned in your love, when the things that surround become shadows in the light of you, my normal response will be, I worship you. I worship you. And the reason I live is to worship you. Lord Jesus, we're here to worship you. We're here that all the things surround us becomes shadow in the light of you. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray for each heart today that will our heart desire to be is to worship you. And our motto in life, our theme for life will be, the reason I live is to worship you. Not to serve, not to speak, not to preach, not to give, not to do anything, but to worship you, Jesus. To see you in the throne, Lord. To see you glorified, to see you lifted high, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. In your presence, Lord, all the things surround us will become shadows in the light of you. I command in the name of Jesus, every darkness that controls our mind, our soul, our emotions, our spirit, to be cast away in the name of Jesus. And all things will be shadows in the light of you, Jesus. Shine your light today. Shine your light, Jesus. Shine your holiness and loveliness. So we worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Amen.
Why don't we all stand for this first song?
cries out, to you belongs the glory. Oh, the glory. And through every loss or victory, my soul will rise to only bring you glory. Oh, glory. With every breath, with every breath that's in my lungs, my heart cries out, to you belongs the glory. The glory through every loss and through every loss or victory, my soul will rise to only bring you glory. Oh, glory, we give you the highest. You deserve it all. We give you the highest praise. You deserve it all. You deserve it all. We give you the highest praise. You deserve it all. You deserve it all. We give you the deserve it all, and with every breath that's in my lungs, my heart cries out to you belongs the glory, the glory. Through every loss or victory, my soul will rise to only bring you glory. You glory. So we give you the highest praise. You deserve it all. You deserve it all. We give you the highest. You deserve it all. You deserve it all. We give you the highest. You deserve it all. You deserve it all. We give you the highest. You deserve it all. out. You belongs the glory, the glory. Through every loss or victory, my soul will rise to only bring you glory, you glory.
We give you,
we give you the highest praise. You deserve it all, you deserve it all. We give you the highest. You deserve it all. We give you the highest praise. You deserve it all. You deserve it all. We give you the
Falling on it.
Jesus reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling on everything. There's freedom. There's freedom in your presence. There is freedom.
I feel like there's a lot of people who have a lot of bondage over them this morning, like especially this morning, but there's extra heaviness and extra like darkness, and I feel like God just wants to take, he sees it, and it pains him to see that. It pains him to see you hurt. It pains him to see the heaviness that you have, and he wants to lift it off of you. And I think during worship this morning, he doesn't just want you to tell him you love him, but he wants to free you from everything that you have, and he wants to lift that heaviness and that burden off of you because he loves you. And this morning, all you have to do to have that heaviness lifted is just surrender it to him. Just let it go. Just give it to him. And he will gladly take all of that and give you his love and replacement. He wants to do that this morning. We don't want to just keep going as if everything is fine. He wants to fix what's broken this morning. So God, we give you all of our burdens. We give you all our pain. We give you all the darkness that's within us, God. And we ask for your love to replace it this morning. We ask for your grace to cover us this morning, God. We are weak. And we have nothing that we can give you, Lord. But we give you the brokenness and we give you the hurt and the pain, God. And we ask that you would replace it with your love this morning, Lord Jesus. Replace it with your love, God. We love you and we need you and we only want you, Jesus. We only need you, Jesus. You are the answer to all that hurt that's in our hearts. You're the answer to all that pain that's in our lives, God. And if we have you, we are free in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for your love, Lord. I thank you for being in this place, Lord. You're so beautiful, God. You're so beautiful, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Hallelujah. God bless everybody. God is good. Amen. God is good. God is good. And as she was praying, I just kind of felt that we need to exhale. Just release. My brother said release this morning, and I was feeling that. Just exhale. Everyone can just exhale right now. Exhale. God is good. He says, release it. Release your cares. He loves us. He loves us. He cares for us. And he provides for us. Amen. And we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for your grace, your mercy, Lord. We thank you for who you are, Lord, in our lives. We thank you who we have become in your eyes, Lord. Father, we love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. Amen? God is good. Amen. Amen. No, that's good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's a sign of life. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. A shout for joy. I don't know how to transition. Hallelujah. I had a question, and I'm going to still go for it. And forgive me for this, but I had a question I wanted to share. How many of you guys pray after you eat? And I'm not saying praying like this, oh God, I'm full. Because I know many of us have prayed that. If that's the case, then there's many prayer warriors here. But in Deuteronomy chapter 8, there's a direction, there's a warning, if you will, there's a letter of instruction that he's giving the Israelites here. And I'm going to jump and I'll try to paraphrase here so we don't go through everything. Otherwise, this is the message, and Pastor, I'm sorry. But in verse 17, it says, "Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day." Amen? He's giving them an instruction. He's telling them, you know, the Israelites that were brought out of Egypt, they were in the wilderness, and they entered the promised land. And many of us, we were slaves to sin. The Lord set us free, amen. We may have struggles, whatever our conditions, whatever our circumstances were, the Lord brought us out of that. And if he hasn't, whoever in this place, he can bring you out of any struggle, any problem, any addiction, anything. Amen? He can do it. And he brought him out and he's giving him an instruction. He's telling him, you're about to go into this promised land and you're going to have many blessings. Blessing after blessing after blessing. And it says, and you might start saying, it's my strength. In other words, you might start forgetting about the Lord. And those of you who know the story, that we know that they many times they forgot or they complain, and it leads to rejecting the Lord, forgetting about God, and it starts focusing on ourselves. Started focusing on them, and it says, you may say, my strength, but don't forget it is the Lord that has provided you the strength and the ability. Amen? And I'll give you this key, and it's found in verse 10. And it says, when you have eaten and are full, praise God, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. When you have eaten and you are full, then you will bless the Lord. In other words, we've prayed and we've asked the Lord to help us, to rescue us, and he will and he shall and he has. But when things are good, or we think things are good, and the Lord has provided for us, and there's food in our table, do not forget about the Lord. It says, when you have eaten and you are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God. Heavenly Father, this morning, this afternoon, Lord, we bless you, Lord. We honor you, Lord. Father God, we pray, Lord, you forgive us, Lord, if we have ever forgotten about you, your goodness, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you welcome us back, Lord. Father God, it's in your hands, Lord. Our cares are in your hands, Lord. Whatever troubles, whatever lacks, Father God, they're in your hands, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for your goodness, Lord. And we know that we are a blessed people because we are your children, Lord. And we just thank you, Father God. We honor you, Lord. Help us to always bring you honor and glory, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the seed that we can sow, Lord. You deserve the glory, Lord. You deserve it all, Lord. We bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Circle, you answer, and you came to my rescue, and I want to be where you are. And I call, in my life. Be lifted high in our world. Be lifted high in our love. Be lifted high, yeah, in my life. Be lifted high in our world. God, be lifted high. In our love, be lifted high. As I call you answered, and you came to my rescue, and
say hello to someone. Everyone doing well? Yeah? Some of us are doing well? And the rest of us? We're going to be in John 8 this morning, but before we get into this morning's text, I just kind of had a thought that I want to share with you as we were pulling in. You know, the sun was so bright and shining, and the weather seems to be changing a little bit. And I thought, you know what? It seems like the season is changing, and I think there's something else, a season changing in the spirit realm. I think there's something happening in the spirit. The more challenging things get at times, and the tougher things are, it's an indication, I believe, that God is ready to do something amazing, and I, for one, am ready for it. It's not something that we can conjure up in our own flesh. We can't make it happen. We just trust God, yield to Him, and allow God to be God in our lives. Amen? So this morning, we want to give Him the freedom. We want to give Him the freedom to do what He wants to do and allow Him to be Lord over this place by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? All right. Are you in John chapter 8 yet? John chapter 8, verses 31 to, thanks, 21 to 30. It says, Then Jesus said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself because he says, where I go, you cannot come? And he said to them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore, I said to you, you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am, or I am he, you will die in your sins. Then they said to him, who are you? Jesus said to them, just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you. But he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I hear from him. Verse 27. They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Verse 30, as he spoke these words, many believed in him. Amen. Seems like all the kids are gone. They already know the cue that I always forget, so they just, yeah. think they gave up hope on me, so I have to go. Let's pray together. Jesus, we honor your presence this morning among us. We thank you for your goodness and your compassion. We thank you that those mercies are renewed every morning. We thank you, Lord, that you promised us, that you promised that those who seek you, that those who wait upon you will not be put to shame. We will find you if we seek you with all of our hearts. And so give my heart, give our hearts together collectively today to seek you diligently, Lord God, with everything that's within us, and to hold nothing back from you, because you deserve that you be sought with everything, every fiber of our being. Holy Spirit, have your way. Use your word this morning to bring truth, to bring clarity, to bring freedom the way that you desire, Lord. We yield to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, last time we were together, we looked at how Jesus revealed that he was the light of the world. If you were with us a few weeks back, he's the light of the world. We talked about revelation and we talked about resistance. And although Jesus faced resistance, he continued speaking with these religious leaders. And he can't seem to simply stop. He has these people on his heart. He loves them so incredibly, even though he knows what they're about to do. He knows what they're thinking. He knows what they're planning. And he knows how they're going about life. But he's still continuing to speak to them. And this is how he deals with the people that reject him. Imagine how he's dealing with you and with me this morning. Imagine his heart of compassion seeking after us this morning, as we heard a few moments ago. And in today's passage, our Lord uses some hard language. And he knows, because he knows what eternity means. He knows how hard it is and the final separation between God and his creation. He knows that it's a place of forever torment, a place where you are forever isolated in a place of darkness. And because he knows what that looks like and what that means, he wants to speak the truth to save people from that place, because it wasn't created for people. It wasn't created for humanity. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. So no person was ever intended to occupy that place. So Jesus speaks directly, and he wants to wake them up and maybe possibly wake up anybody here this morning if they fall into that same category. And so in this brief passage, Jesus will discuss and reveal a couple different things, if I may share them with you this morning. Can I get a yes or a nodding of the head or something? All right, good. The first one is the sinner's path, and then the Savior's pattern. First is the sinner's path, and then the Savior's pattern. Let's begin with the first, which is the sinner's path, beginning at verse 21. Then Jesus said to them again, "I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come." The time that he's speaking to them here is the Feast of Tabernacles, yes? And it's around the time of October. It's autumn time. It's time of the fall. And within 6 months, in the springtime, he will be on the cross. So he has about 6 months to go. He says, "And you will seek me." It's a clear warning that a day is quickly approaching when they'll seek Jesus, but he will not be found by them. These Jews already have it in their minds that they've rejected the Lord. They want nothing to do with him. It's no longer a question for them as to whether he is or he isn't. They're convinced that he is not the expected Messiah, and so they're looking for someone else. Going all the way back to chapter 5 of John chapter 5, it says they intended to find a way to kill him. They intended to find a way to kill him. And so when Jesus says, "Where I go, you cannot come," he's speaking to them in their language. He's speaking to them in what? In their language. Let me clarify to you, because he's speaking to them a reference from the Old Testament. What do you mean a reference from the Old Testament? Well, in the book of Hosea, chapter 5, look at that, it worked. In Hosea 5, verse 4, it says, "Their deeds will not allow them to return to their God, for a spirit of harlotry is within them, and they do not know the Lord." He's not just making a blanket statement saying, "You're going to seek me and not find me." He's not just saying that you will come and approach me and not be able to find me. He's saying that there is a problem that is here. You will try to come and seek me, but your deeds have hindered you. And they are students of the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, some of these religious leaders, they knew how many words were in the Old Testament. They knew how many syllables were in. They can quote it verbatim blindfold. They knew exactly what he was referring to. And he's quoting here directly, "Your deeds will not allow you to return to their God, for the spirit of harlotry is within them, and they do not know the Lord." And so God sent prophet after prophet speaking to the nation, but they insisted on living in their own way. And this is on the heels, by the way, if you recall, this is on the heels of when Jesus was in the temple teaching and they brought to him a woman that was caught in adultery. Do you see the beauty of the scriptures, how it ties things together? Here, He talks about for a spirit of harlotry or a spirit of adultery is in them. That's why they can't return, because they are accustomed to their ways. They don't want to change their ways. And so this is right on the heels of that particular story. And the Lord views his relationship with his people as a husband is married to his wife. That's how he looks at you and me. He doesn't look at us as a distant people, as a people that is off, a people that is far away. He says, you are my people, as a husband is with his wife. Look at Jeremiah 3 and 14. You're welcome. Return, unfaithful people, declares the Lord, for I am your husband. That's how God views us. That's how seriously he takes this relationship. And so a remnant heard God's voice and they returned, but the majority, unfortunately, chose to continue down that path. And those who die without their sins being forgiven, being washed in the blood of Jesus, will end up in that horrible place. Who is Jesus addressing here? This is me asking you and giving you permission to answer me. Who is Jesus speaking to here? But who specifically of the children of Israel? The scribes and the Pharisees, the leaders of the law, the people that know, the people who thought we are the spiritual elite, we are the spiritual authority, we are the church people, we are the synagogue people, we are the religious people. And so he's speaking to them saying, if you don't turn your ways, you will not go where I am going. Where I go, you cannot come. The very one who said, I am the light, is saying, I am going away. They should have asked, where are you going and how can each of us follow? That's what they should have asked. Instead, it reveals the first characteristic of those who are on the sinner's path. If I can share these four quick thoughts with you. Those who are on the sinner's path. The first thing is self-righteousness, a self-righteous posture. It's a deadly attitude of the heart that elevates itself even in the face of the clearest truth. And it's amazing that Jesus' words never failed. Nothing that Jesus ever said ever fell to the ground. Everything he said came to pass. They should have done a whole lot less talking and a whole lot listening with the intent of being obedient to him. But listen, a self-righteous attitude is subtle, and it's wearing a religious robe saying with the words, I'm following you, but I want you to at me. Pay attention to me. A self-righteous attitude wears a religious robe, but it says to God, look at me. Pay attention to me. Look at what I have done. Look at how good I am. Look at how much I am trying. Look at how much I am attempting to do. Must be pretty good, right? A businessman, well known for his ruthlessness, once announced to writer Mark Twain, he says, before I die, I mean to make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. I will climb Mount Sinai and read the Ten Commandments aloud on top. I have a better idea, replied Twain. You could stay in Boston and keep them. Sometimes we want to do great things and say, I have done something amazing. I have read through the entire Bible, or I have spent this much time in prayer, or I have given this much to the church, or I have served people in this capacity. Right? And we want to do that for the sake of self-right and earning something from the Lord. Like, look at what I'm doing, God. I must be doing something good. Listen, that doesn't work in our walk with God. It doesn't work, and I'll show you why here in a moment. It's not just something that these self-religious Jews dealt with. Self-righteousness is something that we all battle, especially here in the church. And if we've been in God's presence for a while, if we have abandoned God's presence for a while, sometimes it can take us a while to get back into the presence of God, because we're trying to gain enough courage, we're trying to gain enough whatever, faith, to enter into the presence of God, saying, I haven't been connected, I haven't been reading for a while, or I haven't been praying for a while, or I haven't been serving for a while, so it's going to take me a minute to get back up. Do you know why we do that? Because my focus in my walk hasn't been the Lord. My focus in my walk has been me. When my focus in my walk becomes me, do I have a chance of ever being changed? Not a single chance. Not 1% chance. If my focus is on me and what I do, I don't have a single percent chance. It's because we're still saying, Lord, I want you to look at me. And there's no room for that in our relationship with God. There is zero room. Listen, we come to God based on the grace and the mercy of God alone. I don't stand here and lift up holy hands, because in and of myself, I am holy. Trust you me, I am not. Or I are not. These hands have been sanctified by the Lord. If I look to me and rely on me, I don't deserve to stand here, as we heard from Philip last week. I don't deserve it. None of us can deserve it. None of us are good enough. None of us can ever do enough to deserve to do something for the Lord. Everything that we have is something called the grace of God. It's by the grace of the Lord. Romans 10 and 3 says, "For being ignorant of the righteousness of God, they seek to establish their own. They do not submit to God's righteousness." Listen, we are not righteous in and of ourselves. We don't have any. All righteousness comes from the Lord. It is a gift from Him. And their self-righteousness then leads them to mockery. In verse 22, they said, "Will He kill Himself because He says, 'Where I go, you cannot come'?" Why are they asking that question? It's not really a question. It's a slur. It's a what? It's a derogatory slur against His character. Because some of the rabbis taught that the worst place in hell is reserved for those who take their own lives. So what they're saying is, "Jesus, you're going to..." According to Josephus, a person who committed suicide didn't just go to hell, but went to the lowest, darkest point of hell. That's what they were saying. They were saying, you're not just going to hell. You're going to the lowest parts of... Are you going to kill yourself? That's where you're going. We're going to heaven. Of course we're going to heaven. Look at this robe. Look at the money that I'm putting into the offering. Look at these messages that I'm sharing with these people. Look at all the service that I'm doing. Look, look, look. And all their focus is on them. He says, "And where I go, you cannot come." Because you're relying on yourself. You're relying on yourself. They were so self-righteous that they couldn't recognize that the one who spoke to Moses is standing right in front of them, speaking life to them. So Jesus sets the record straight in verse 23. He says, "You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world." Which brings us to the second characteristic of a person on this unrighteous path, which is worldly. Worldly. Person of the world. And the world doesn't mean the earth that is revolving around the sun. That's not what we're talking about when we say the word world. We're not talking about the Grand Canyon or Niagara Falls or Disneyland or your favorite spot at the beach. That's not what we're talking about. That's not the world. The world, or even a delicious meal. That's not what we're talking about. I had to throw that in there, Pastor Mike. The world means a system. The world system, it includes ideologies and values and philosophies that are opposed to God's plan and His will. That is called the world. It is a system. It is a mode. It is a method. It is a mindset that wants to do things on its own. That's called the world. And it's orchestrated. The corruption is orchestrated by Satan himself. Those of you who know the name Chuck Swindoll, he wrote this. He says, "The world system is committed to at least four major objectives that I can summarize in four words. The first is fortune or money. The world system is driven by money. It feeds on materialism. Give me money. That's not a godly lifestyle. That is a worldly lifestyle. The one that is hungering for more and more and more is not living according to the heart of the Father, but is living according to the pattern of this world. The second thing is fame. Fame, that is another word for popularity. Fame is the longing to be known. That I become somebody in someone else's eyes, that I become recognized in someone else's eyes. If I am living my life wanting to be recognized by other people, then I am not living according to God's heart. I am living according to the pattern of the world. Number three is power. This is having influence, maintaining control over individuals or groups or companies or whatever. It's the desire to manipulate and maneuver others to do something for my own benefit. I'm trying to move things in a certain way. This is called power. And the fourth and final thing is pleasure. At its basic level, pleasure has to do with fulfilling one's sensual desire. It has the same mindset of the slogan, "If it feels good, do it." If it feels good, do it. That's called the system of the world. That's called the ways of the world or the pattern of the world. 1 John 2:15 says this. It says, "Do not love the world." The Greek word is cosmos. "Do not love the cosmos or the world, nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Meaning if any of these things that we just described is attributed to you in your life right now, today's a great day to leave those things behind. Turn to God and say, "Have mercy on me, a sinner, because I need your help." Amen? It's not a message of condemnation, but a message of clarity, enlightening, and saying, listen, we need to wake up. If these things have infiltrated my life, then I need to say, God, have mercy on me. I need help. I need help. 1 John continues on to say, all that is in the world boils down to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. All of that is not from the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and its lust, but the one who does the will of God abides forever. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Do you know what that's saying? Give it to me. I want it for me. Love gives, but lust takes. Love offers freely. Lust desires to take. It's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Look at me. Look at how great I am. Look at how amazing I am. Look at how all of that is the pattern of the world. And he's saying that if you have that in you, the love of the Father does not abide in you. James 4 puts it this way. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. In other words, if you are a friend of the world, if you are operating on this path, there's no way that you can be walking with the Lord at the same time, because the two are completely at odds with one another. Does that mean it's wrong to be a person of influence? No. Is it wrong to have a little bit of money in your account? No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about if that's my life focus. That is what wakes me up in the morning. That's what gets me going. That is where my attention is. Then this is wrong. Verse 23, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Heaven is a place of holiness, transparency, and pure love, where there is no evil and there is no deceit. It is where God absolutely gives, and he gives without condition. Verse 24 is going to lead us to the next one, where it says, therefore I say to you that you will die in your sins if you do not believe that I am. You will die in your sins if you do not believe that I am, which brings us to the third characteristic, which is unbelieving or lack of faith, that Jesus is who he claims to be. In some of your Bibles, you may see where it says that I am he. Well, the he is italicized because it's not in the original, because he meant to say it that way, that I am he. It is the ego I me, the I am that I am, taking us back to the third chapter of Exodus, where Moses is speaking to the Lord, and Moses is asking the Lord, what is your name? And he says, I am that I am, ego I me. Jesus also here is alluding to Deuteronomy 32 and 39, where he says, see now that I, even I am he, and there is no God besides me. Also in Isaiah 43 and verse 10, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there is no God formed, nor shall there be any after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. What is the Lord saying to them here? He's saying, you're going to die in your sins if you don't believe that I am. I came here to save you, but if you don't believe that, you have no chance. You have no hope. And this explains why by the end of this chapter here, chapter 8, they are ready to pick up stones and cast stones at him, because he's claiming to be God. That's exactly what he's claiming to be. But their hearts are so hardened, so Jesus would have to say to them, you are going to die in your sins. Have you ever said that to someone as you're sharing your faith with them? By the way, I love you, but you're going to die in your sins. Talk about a seeker-friendly service. Come, give them the warm fuzzies. Make them feel good. Tell them how wonderful they are. You're going to die in your sins. You will die in your sins because of your unbelief. To not believe that Jesus is the Savior, the Redeemer, the only one who could remove their sins, is to be lost forever. And that may sound like it's a harsh thing to do, but you know what? I appreciate someone speaking the truth. I appreciate the fact that God is speaking the truth. Just as if I were in a burning building and there's someone standing outside the burning building and they can see the fire and they yell to me, they're saying, get out of the building, it's on fire. If you hang in there too long, if you wait any longer, the building is going to collapse on you and you will lose your life and anyone that is in there with you, run and flee from the building as fast as you can. I wouldn't say, well, that's kind of harsh. Can't you say it nicer? No, I want him to yell. I want him to scream. I want him to get my full attention, to wake me up from my sleep and my slumber, because I am headed in a wrong direction. I'm standing in a dangerous place, and I want him to say to me, get out of there as quick as you can. By the way, there's only one door. Well, that's not fair. What if I want to go through that wall? What if I want to go through that window? There's one door. There's only one way, and His name is Jesus. He is the only way. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. He's speaking to them at that level because the sin that is in them is going to destroy them and everything that's inside of them. That's the reasonable and loving thing to do because they are in imminent danger. And He's saying this because He loves them. And I believe He's repeating this to us today because He loves us. He loves each of us. And He's saying, if you are involved in the world or the love of the world or you are faithless in any way, then be careful. You are in dangerous territory. That's the bad news, but the good news is coming. So sit tight, buckle up, because the good news is coming. Somebody say amen. Which brings us to our fourth characteristic, the last part of this, and then we'll move on to the fourth part is obstinate. Obstinate. What does that mean? It means stubborn. Obstinate means stubborn, which describes no one in this room. Not a single person in this room, not even the one that's standing here speaking to you. Not a single person in this room has this problem with obstinance. Because in verse 25, they said, who are you? Who are you? All the miracles that they've witnessed, all the prophecies fulfilled about Jesus, all the words that they've heard with their own ears about Him, so much so that the police, if you will, of the temple guard came back and said, we never heard anyone speak the way this man speaks. There's something unique and different about Him. They're stubborn in spite of all that they've seen. The exact opposite. The exact opposite of Simeon in the temple. Do you remember when Jesus was brought into the temple by Mary and Joseph? They brought Him into the temple because they're going to dedicate Him there. It says, and there was a man there in the temple by the name of Simeon, who was led by the Holy Spirit, and as soon as he heard the voice of the babe, he went and he said, now my eyes see the salvation of the Lord. Now, Lord, you can take your servant in peace because I have seen your salvation. He begins to speak a prophecy over Mary. This is a man who never heard one sermon that Jesus preached because he was a baby at the time. He never saw one miracle performed because Jesus had not yet grown into that position as of yet. But by the Holy Spirit, he's hungry. He's saying, God, I want you. God, I want to live a life that is honoring to you. I want to have the faith of Abraham. I want to live a life that is like Joseph's life. I want to live a life that is like David's life. I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to move in the Spirit. I want you to fulfill your purpose in my life, even if the Messiah hadn't come in my lifetime yet. Allow me to see Him. Allow me to pursue you. Allow me to pursue you with everything in my being. Allow me to pursue you with every fiber of my being. God, I want to know you and I want to pursue you. And listen, a person who pursues God at that level, with that level of passion, God will meet with them. God will never leave us hungry. Listen, He doesn't give you this level of hunger so that you can hold it over your head and say, nah, you're not going to get it. He gives you this level of hunger because He's ready to satisfy you with even more than you can handle. And He's giving you thirst in your soul right now. You're sitting here thirsty saying, God, I want you. He's saying, I put that thirst in you. I put that mechanism of thirst in you because I want to pour water out from heaven and pour it so abundantly on you. It will overflow you so that you can declare, like, I'm ready to preach now. So you can declare like David, my cup is running over. My cup is running over. I want the Lord. I seek the Lord. One thing I have desired and that will I seek, that I may all the days of my, and to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple, for there He shall hide me in His pavilion, in that secret place. What do you want, David? I want that one-on-one with God. He is my Father, because though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord has always taken care of me. The Lord has always been there for me. And when I was there facing that giant, when I was there delivering bread to the captain of the guard, delivering bread for my brothers, and I saw that giant standing there, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he said, who is that uncircumcised Philistine? God has given me the lion and the bear. I will kill him just the same. Who is this little kid? Who is this little kid who is ready to defy that giant? He's saying, I know who my God is. And so long as he is defying my God, I got to stand up because I know who God is. All these people here say they know who God is, but they know who God is with their mouths. But he's saying, I have an experience with God. He has delivered me. When I was by myself in the field, I was there and a lion came to attack the sheep, and God delivered that lion out of my hand. And then a bear came, a lion and a bear, and I killed them both. And I know it wasn't me. Because I'm a teenager. The Bible says he was a good-looking teenager too. He was this good-looking teenage kid who said, I have experienced it. You what? I don't just know about him. So why do you want him even more? In Psalm 27, David, why do you want to know him even more? He says, because the more I know him, the more I realize I don't know very much. And I want to know him that much more. The more I taste of his beauty, the more I taste of his goodness, the more I taste of his glory, I want more of that. What do you want to do, David? You want to conquer kingdoms? You want to expand Israel's borders? Here's one thing that I want. I want you. These Pharisees, these scribes, had seen so much. And my fear is, in the church, we have seen so much, and we've heard so much, yet my heart hasn't shifted. There's a level of hardness that's there that says, I am not moving this position. I am going to stay right here. I'm bitter, and I'm going to remain bitter. I am angry, and I'm going to remain angry. I am confused, and I'm going to remain confused. Change me if you can. What a terrible disposition that is. As opposed to humbly saying, Jesus, you came. You came to deliver me from my darkness. You came to deliver me from my bondage. You came to deliver me from my addictions. You came to deliver me from my fears. You came to deliver me from everything that holds me back. And you came to give me life and life more abundantly. God, I yield it to you. I yield it all to you. And forgive me for thinking that you can't handle my problems. Forgive me for thinking that my problems are too big for you, as if you're too small of a God to handle my particular problems. Listen, nothing is too difficult for God. Nothing is too difficult for God. Nothing is too difficult for God. There is nothing that God cannot do. Things will not work out the way that you always hope or envision, but God will always get the glory in the end if we surrender to him, if we will yield to him. I'm sure that Joseph, as he was going through his thing, was thinking, this isn't the way that I designed it. I envisioned an entirely different path. This looks like a hot mess. And God is saying, I will take the mess, and I will do something with the mess. As I'm working in you, and I'm shaping in you, and I'm changing a character on the inside, and I'm getting you to rely on yourself a little bit less every day, and a little bit less every day, and to look to me a little more every day, and to me a little more every day, until you were fully surrendered to me and fully thrown into my presence. And it's there that I will meet with you. It's there that I will commune with you. It's there that we will have sweet fellowship one with another. A humble, hungry heart will receive from the Lord. If your heart is hungry this morning, you come to a good place. Not because there's anything special about Arise Church. Believe me, there isn't. But the Lord is here. Keep your eyes on the one who knows how to make the change happen. Verse 25, Jesus said to them, just what I've been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. And our Lord phrased it this way because he knows their intention. They want him to say, I am the Son of God, so they can pick up stones immediately, and they want him dead. But when he says, just what I've been saying from the beginning, perhaps he was alluding to Luke chapter 4. If you recall, Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40... Good job, class. 40 days and 40 nights, he was in the wilderness, and as soon as he left the wilderness, it says he's filled with the Spirit, and he immediately goes into the synagogue. And there, in the synagogue, he takes the scroll from the attendant, and he opens up to Isaiah chapter, what we know as Isaiah chapter 61, where there he begins to read, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to give sight to those that are blind, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed it, and he gave it back to the attendant, and he did something interesting. He sat down. Only the Messiah is supposed to sit down in the temple. Perhaps he was alluding back to that. He's saying, I am. I am the one. I am the one. Or perhaps back to John 5 and 17. Where Jesus answered and said to them, my Father has been working until now, and I also have been working. Therefore they sought to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but because he also said God was his father, making himself equal with God. Or perhaps he took him back even further than that. To Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning God created. He's saying, guess who created all that? I did. The earth that you're standing on right now, the air that you're breathing right now, the fact that your lungs are expanding with oxygen right now, I put that there. The fact that your heart is beating in your chest, I'm the one allowing it to continue to beat. Perhaps you took him back all the way back then. That which is from the beginning. Thank you, Lord. But they did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Or perhaps they did, but they didn't want to understand. Because the Bible says, those who seek me will find me. Will find me. Then Jesus said to them in verse 28, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. Lifted up means simply being on the cross. Lifted up on the cross, not lifted up in worship song. Okay, sometimes we say we're going to lift up the Lord. When I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. He's talking about the reference to the cross. Then you will know that I am he. And some did believe. Some did believe. There was a criminal next to him. Remember there was two thieves? There was one criminal next to him who said, Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. There was also a soldier that was there that said, truly, this is the Son of God. Son of God. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached, they were cut to the heart. And how many were saved? 3,000 people were saved on that day. Many did believe. Many did believe. So, which brings us to the Savior's pattern. The Savior's pattern. He goes on to say, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me, for I always do those things that please him. What an amazing statement. You always do those things that please him? Can you and I say that? Not even close. Not even close. The first thing that we learn from Jesus in his humanity is that he learned from the Father. He learned from the Father. From his youth, Jesus learned and grew in wisdom and in favor and stature with God and with man. And early in his life, you find him in the temple. What was he doing in the temple? He was there listening and asking, listening and asking questions. He's giving us a pattern how to live a victorious life. We need to know and experience who God is and to know what pleases him and what grieves his heart. Listen, we need to know him, and to do that, we need to begin listening and asking questions. Reading, listening, and asking questions. To hear God's voice with clarity and to be discerning of that voice. And the best way to do that is through Scripture. 1 Peter 2 and 2 says, like newborn babes or infants, desire the pure milk of the word so that you may grow up into it your salvation. Desire the pure milk of the Word of God, because that is how we grow. Proverbs 4 and 10. Listen, my son, accept my words, and you will have many years. Listen, accept my words. Accept my words. So the first thing is, he learned from the Father. How many of us need to learn? There's so much that I need to learn. And if I need to learn, I need to find someone to teach me. If you need someone to help, ask the Lord. He'll send someone your way along your path, who will teach you the ways of the Lord. Doesn't mean this person is perfect, because believe you me, no one is perfect except for God himself. But if you need help knowing who God is, get with someone who knows who God is and connect with that person and meet with them on a regular basis. Pray with them and ask them as many questions. Pick their brain and pick their heart. That's how we grow. We grow in community. Sometimes I want to be an island. It's just me and the Lord. It doesn't work that way. It never has and it never will. Secondly, is that Jesus was in continual fellowship. He was in continual fellowship with the Father. Jesus was never out of fellowship with the Father. Amos 3 and 3 says, can two walk together unless they are agreed on a direction? Can two people walk together unless they are agreed? It's impossible. It's impossible. Jesus knew who his Father is and has always remained connected to him. Connected to him. And if he wasn't around people, he was always in fellowship with the Father. You know you have a good friend if you're willing to rearrange your entire routine and adjust to this new friend of yours. You know that's a special friend. Anybody was ever introduced to a new friend and suddenly your whole life changes, the routine of your life changes and you make those adjustments? Not a single person? Okay. Connected, yet continual fellowship with the Father. That's what we need to do. When you would find Jesus either in fellowship with people or he was in fellowship with the Father in prayer. He was either around other people teaching and ministering to them or he was spending time with the Father. Why? Because he's saying, I love the Father. And you only spend time with those that you really love, yes? I mean, you go out of your way and make provisions to spend time with people that you love, and you go out of your way and make provisions to not spend time. Let's not go there. Continual fellowship. And so here's a question. When the disciples were on the boat and the storm rose and they began to get scared, who do you think the disciples were in continual fellowship with at that moment? With fear. With fear, yes? Jesus was in the back of the boat doing what? Who was he in fellowship with? The Father, who said, we're going to get to the other side. We're going to get to the other side. Wait, but there's a storm and water is getting inside the boat. Like, the water is getting inside the boat. Look, if you've ever been on a boat, it can be kind of scary, especially at night. I've done it. It's kind of scary. When the waves begin to rock, you're thinking, Jesus, please. We don't want this thing to capsize. We don't want this thing to flip over because that is a long swim and it's cold. And anyway, but he was in communion with the Father who said, we're getting over there regardless of what you're seeing right here. And the fact that he knew that the Father was with him. The Father is with me. The Father is with me. He's with me. Yes, but don't you see your circumstances? The Father is with me. But don't you see the water in the boat? The Father is with me. He's not trying to talk himself into it or out of it. He's in the back sleeping. He's saying, it's all good. The Father's got this. So long as he said, I got it taken care of, that means he's got it taken care of. I can rest. Oh, I want to get to the place where I can do that, because sometimes the waves and the wind gets kind of high. You know, when the doctor gives you bad news, when relationships don't go the way that you want them to, when the money runs a little bit low in the account, but all these other things, when the craziness happens in life, you think to yourself, uh-oh, here comes the wind and the waves. Listen, Jesus said, we're going to get to the other side. That means we're going to get to the other side. Lord, help me rest peacefully and get some deep sleep. I mean some snoring sleep. Egyptians snore, man. Because the Father is with me, I'm in constant communion with him. With him. Third and final thing I'll share with you this morning is the Father views us the way the Father views Jesus. What? The Father views us the way the Father views Jesus. Since Christ is accepted by the Father, so we also are accepted. Listen to Colossians 3:3. For you, he's speaking to the believers, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You have what? I just said it to you. You have died and your life is hidden with God in Christ. In other words, your life is no longer on the surface. You have died and you are now hidden in him. So when God is looking to see, he doesn't see you anymore. He sees his son. And so long as I am in Christ, I am also accepted. The same love the Father has for Jesus, he has for me. Listen to Romans 8:17. Since we are his children, we will possess the blessings he keeps for his people. And we also will possess with Christ what God has kept for him. If we will share in his sufferings, we shall also share in his glory. Other translations call it, we are heirs and co-heirs. We are heirs with God and co-heirs with Christ. In other words, he calls us, we are brothers and sisters with the Lord. What he inherits, we also get to inherit. I don't know about you. That's pretty amazing. Everything that belongs to Christ now belongs to me. And the fellowship that is between the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, has now been extended to you and to me. What's that? Wait. There's God the Father, there's God the Son, there's God the Holy Spirit. They're in perfect harmony and unity one with another. That unity and fellowship now has been extended to each of us. 1 John 1 and 3. What we have seen and heard, we also declare to you, so that you may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. I'm not making stuff up, folks. This is in the Bible. Imagine having continual access to God and to His throne day and night. Imagine having access to His heart day and night. Imagine having access into that intimate fellowship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If you've placed your confidence in Christ, then God the Father is pleased with you. God the Father is pleased with you. Not because of what you've done or haven't done. I don't care what you did last night. I don't care what you did early this morning, right before church. That doesn't matter. So long as you are in Christ, so long as you've turned your heart towards Him, so long as you've asked Him to forgive you and He's cleansed you of your sin, you are clean and pure in Christ. That's good news. That's good news. The way God sees Jesus is the way He sees me. So Jesus learned from the Father. He's in continual fellowship. And the Father sees us the way that He sees our Lord. And we'll talk next time about how to abide in the Word when we get to verse 31. Can we pray together? Your love for us is so much greater than we can fathom. So much bigger than we can understand or comprehend. I ask by the power of the Holy Spirit, you would give us, Lord, the capacity. You would give us the faith, the eyes, that you would open the eyes of our heart. Give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, that we may know what is the hope of our calling, that we may know what is the length and width and the height and the depth of the love of Christ, which passes all understanding. And Lord, give us faith not to look to ourselves, whether we're doing extremely well or doing extremely poorly, not to fall into self-righteousness and pride and despair, but to look to you and only to you. To look to you and only to you, the author and the finisher of our faith, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. As we become transformed into your image, as we look into your glory, Lord, would you give us continual fellowship? Would you give us continual fellowship with you? And for those of us, Lord God, who may be experiencing the high winds and some water that's filling the boat and some fear, I pray this morning that you would teach us, Lord God. Teach us to imitate Jesus and to rest when you're resting. To pray when you're praying. To simply imitate you, Lord God. Knowing that you're going to bring this boat to the other side safely. Because the purpose for which you've intended for us is not yet finished. It's not yet complete. Lord, I pray that you would hide these words in our hearts. Give us to draw close to you. If anyone here is struggling, Lord, with the things of this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, I pray this morning that your truth sets them free. And it's only by the power of your Holy Spirit. Set each person free. And your word declares, he that the Son sets free is free. And as we look to you, may the chains fall off today. As we look to you, may every bondage fall off today. As we worship you, Lord God, in spirit and in truth, may my heart be connected to yours. May my mind be connected to yours. May every fiber of my being be connected to yours. May I have the same passion and desire as Moses had, as David had, as Simeon had, and to pursue you, Lord God, with everything, to pursue you with everything, leaving nothing, holding nothing back, trusting you even with the mistakes and the failures. Jesus. Jesus, 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 we worship you, Lord God. We worship you, Lord God. team is ready to sing, just take a moment to speak to God, whatever you're struggling with, whatever you're battling right now. If it's fear, if it's depression, if it's anxiety, if it's the world's kind of closing in on you right now, whatever you're feeling, offer that to Him. Offer it to Him. And continue to offer that to Him. And trust that He's got this. God has got this because He's got you.
Shakes the mountain tops. The only word that breaks the curses. Your name, the one that covers all, is higher than the others, higher than the others. The name that shakes the mountain tops, the only word that breaks the curses off. Oh, your name, the one that covers all, is higher than the others, higher than the others. Full of faith and wonder, I will say no other name but yours, name but yours. Full of faith and wonder, I will say no other name but yours, name but yours. Storms the gates of hell. The only word my life will live to tell. Oh, all the earth will bow beneath the sound. That's higher than the others, higher than the others. Full of faith and wonder, no other name but yours, name but yours. Full of faith and wonder, I will say no other. Jesus, Jesus.
You are.